Good morning, y'all. You're tuned in to the softest, easiest Saturday morning wake-up show on the planet. Get your weekend started right. We are your weekend wake-up notice. It's Rosie on the house. Come on into my house and sit down and get comfortable. Shucks, I'll even pour you a cup of coffee and give you a Dunkin' Donut. Come on in, y'all.
How were about you, that moon this morning over the desert?
Were you up early this morning? Did you see that moon set this morning? If not, you missed a beautiful start of a weekend.
But the good news is, as beautiful as that moon was last night, it's not full till tonight, so you still have one more chance to get up and see it. He can still be found
hiding in the day. Come on, we're going to melt away all those anxieties that built up on your mind and your heart and your soul all week, and we're going to melt them away today, right here over the next 4 hours. Good morning, y'all. Just being alone, just being me. I want to rewind the show just a little bit to 2 weeks ago, where we did a show, and we never know what topic we're going to hit that just lights up the internet machine. And I want to tell you, this topic lit it up. Jennifer has jumped on this topic like a chicken on a June bug. It's unbelievable. And it all starts with the old code of the West. I don't know who originally wrote this, but it's the truth. Whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting over. We did a story a couple weeks ago with an attorney from Arizona right here, Rita McGuire, on the allocations of the Colorado River water. And that was just at the time the media was covering a lot of issues about, hey, we are getting ready to step into tier one of our water austerity program until we had what has now become known as Miraculous Wet May. In many places of the Southwest, it received rain in May that hasn't received rain in May since we kept records. So we were able to push back these water conservation austerity measures to at least back 1 year. But let's go over just a couple of things. We're really here in the Southwest. We're a decade and a half into a pretty serious drought, okay? And you're thinking, Rosie, this isn't like you to build us up all and get us anxious. Hey, I'm just going to be bringing good news, okay? A lot of times when it comes to water, there's a lot of scare tactics out there that make you think we're all but going to dry up and blow away next week. We're here with a program this morning, 7 o'clock, to make you feel very comfortable about the condition Arizona is in as far as its water use and its future conservation measures. And we've got some special guests here in studio I'll be introducing in just a minute. But let me go over some of the statistics. Just in April, the state of California mandated that total water, urban water consumption, had to be reduced 25%. The National Drought Mitigation Center claims 9 California cities are in deep jeopardy of running out of water. What's that going to do to Arizona real estate? All right, okay. Okay, now this is worrisome because, as I understand it, California has priority on every drop of water that comes down the Colorado River before Arizona can take a sip. Their entire allocation, they can have all of it before we can take one sip. And there are currently overdrawing their allocation. So I don't know how we're even getting any water out of the CAP anyway. Las Vegas, which is lower down on the food chain than Arizona, just spent $817 million running a third straw into Lake Mead, lower because their other two straws are above waterline right now. Doesn't do well. Virtually 90% of Las Vegas' water comes from Lake Mead. Arizona consumes 600 billion gallons of water a year. 600 billion gallons of water a year. That's a lot of fighting. Now, I left y'all with the takeaway a couple weeks ago that if we could each dedicate and commit to cutting back our water consumption at each address that we represent, cut it back 10%. If we could all just cut 10%. Now, California just mandated 25% reduction. If we could just cut back 10% each, we would then allocate and provide enough additional water for 370,000 additional families. Okay? Arizona is currently sitting at about 6.5 million people. That's projected in the next 20 years to double. Double. I know. That's kind of upsetting. 13 million people in our sweet little state of Arizona. But they're coming, folks, mainly because California's running out of water. So we want to talk to y'all about what you can do in conserving this 10%. And that's where I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer, because Jennifer, you jumped on this topic. She's like measuring my drinks of water with a tablespoon now.
It's not quite that bad. I start out by thinking just how proud I am of Arizona for being so proactive on the whole topic after talking to Rita and realizing the groundwater resources we have. And so then I started thinking, what if we really had gone under restriction? What would that be like? And then I started thinking, well, what if we all took measures so we didn't have to ever go there? So I had been doing a lot of reading. And the water topic is hot right now, so it's everywhere. And
in the paper today, the little town of Bowie, Arizona, the city wells ran dry. Their truck delivering water to the residents of Bowie, Arizona, on Interstate 10. And the lead story of the newspaper is Navajo Indian Reservation dry.
Yeah. So I just kept reading, and Tucson's been very proactive longer than Phoenix, I believe, maybe because they have a little more rainwater to harvest and things, but they've been just very proactive. And I kept seeing this group called the Watershed Management Group. I saw them in that magazine I love, Edible Baja.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stories featured there, and then DesertHarvesters.org. And then I started seeing them in the city websites when they talked about water and classes given. Watershed kept coming up, so I started thinking, who is that? So I gave a little phone call, and so we have some guests here today to kind of fill us in on who is Watershed Management Group, and so let's introduce them.
Introduce Lindsay Ignatowski, Program Coordinator and Development Associate for the Watershed Management Group of Phoenix. Lindsay, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We're going to have a blast this morning in this next hour. We're going to be talking water, right? That's your topic. Huh?
I love it. It's my favorite topic.
And let me introduce Ryan Wood, Program Manager for the Watershed Management Group of Phoenix. Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning. Thank you. Pleasure to be here this morning.
Well, boy, Jennifer's been doing her homework here, so I'm going to sit back and see where she takes us.
Well, Lindsay, why don't you start by just telling us what is Watershed Management Group? And just some history, a little history behind them, their mission, how they're funded, just some basics for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we were founded in 2003 in Tucson, and then we've been working up here in Phoenix for about 4 years, since 2011. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and our mission is to provide education on sustainable living practices to give the public the skills, the resources, and the knowledge to put these practices into use at their homes.
Okay, and how are you going about getting that done?
Yeah, great question. We've got a lot of different programs here in the Phoenix area. One of my favorite programs that you and I had talked a little bit about is the public demonstration sites. So we've actually got 4 sites around town that we call our water harvesting public demonstration sites. If you're asking yourself, hey, what is rainwater harvesting? What does it look like? Where can I see it? We've got sites in Glendale, Phoenix, and Mesa. You can go out. You can check it out. You can see them. They're just right on the street, available for public viewing.
Let's talk about them just a little bit, because going through them in my mind, each of them has a little bit different bent, I think. So there's the little church on 7th Street. Little mm-hmm. Methodist Church, Spanish Methodist Church in downtown Phoenix. Can you pronounce that church name?
Yeah, so that is Primera Iglesia. And so that's a church, like you said, in Central Phoenix. We've actually been working there for 4 years. So that is our oldest demonstration site, which is great because we've got a lot of the trees and a lot of the vegetation is starting to mature. So that site actually exists entirely on rainwater and stormwater. It has no supplemental irrigation, no watering.
And I think in reading about that, part of the mission of that particular site was to restore a kind of a downtrodden area, and this beautiful landscape has kind of brought it up, right?
Absolutely. You know, what I love about our work is everything has multiple functions. So, you know, it's not just conserving rainwater. While we're doing that, we are, growing trees to create shade, which reduces the urban heat island. It makes the streets more livable, more walkable. And then we hold these community workshops. We bring in members of the surrounding neighborhoods. They actually come and, we have Ryan, our trained workshop instructor, no previous skills necessary. He leads them through the workshop to install these things. And so they actually participate in building these projects.
No supplemental irrigation system at all. The landscape scheme is completely supported by what falls from the sky.
That is correct.
And I've got to see this. Where is it?
Yeah, so this is Primera Iglesia, a United Methodist Church, and it is on 701 South 1st Street in Central Phoenix. So it's just south of downtown.
Oh, I've got to go see that.
It's a gorgeous site.
It is. The pictures are gorgeous. And Ryan, just a lot of the pictures that were shown, you sent me some pictures, were of curb cuts and things. So when we come back, we'll talk more about all the different ways that this rainwater was harvested to make this all happen.
Rainwater harvesting. You may have heard in the industry that Phoenix wasn't an area that would be feasible, that Tucson and Chino Valley and Prescott and Flagstaff were much more in tune with that, given the amount of rain that falls there as opposed to what falls here in Phoenix. We're going to challenge that assumption here just a little bit and talk about rainwater harvesting right here in Maricopa County, and as well as gray water. What's that? How do you use that? I'm not sure it sounds as good as I'd like it to.